You know, we've gathered here for a purpose. Our purpose is to thank our Heavenly Father, to praise Him, as you have on the front of your handout, your bulletin this morning, and also to recognize the salvation that we have that's been provided for us through His Son, as Mitch mentioned just a moment ago, as we communed around the table together. And we also gather to be instructed. Be instructed in His will and how we are to live each day in His presence. But there's something else this morning that, a specific gift that I think each of us recognize is a gift that God has given to us. It's the gift of our mothers. And we are grateful to God for you. If you're here today as a mother, we want to thank you. I want to personally thank you for your life, the way you have lived that life before your husband, before your children, before those who may see you, a life that's lived to bring glory and honor to God, because it makes a difference. And you know, many of you who have mothers, which is all of us, many of you have paid tribute to your mom. You've probably given her a card. Maybe you've made a phone call. You've wished her Happy Mother's Day. Perhaps you have sent her flowers or given her some special gift that recognizes her. And you want her to know all of those things. And others of you are planning, after we finish worship this morning, to take your mom somewhere and to treat her, maybe her favorite restaurant, and you're going to treat her to a special meal. And it's your way of saying, thank you, Mom. Many of us fail every year, throughout the year, to tell our mothers how much we do appreciate them. And we try to make up for it on this one day, because it is Mother's Day and you are not allowed to forget it, because it's all over television, all over Facebook, everything telling you, Mom's Day, Mom's Day. Don't forget Mom's Day. The truth is, you know, you cannot make up for that lifetime of service on your behalf by your mother in one day. But what you can do today is you can begin today changing that and making sure that from this point on you do recognize her on a regular basis. You honor her, you praise her, you thank her, and you tell her how much you are grateful for what she's done. And today what I would like for us to do is to reflect upon what God has given to us in the way of mothers, and also some things that Scripture says about you ladies. That's why I have titled the lesson this morning, Who Are You, Mom? Because I want you to think about what Scripture says about who you are, and then also to the rest of us, those who are husbands of a very special lady in our lives that is the mother of our children, and those of us who are children, which is all of us, how are we to recognize them? What is it that we can do for them on an ongoing basis? The passage that was read for you this morning, if you were to go back and look at the beginning of of Proverbs 31, you find that this is not from Solomon. Solomon may have kept it. Solomon may have included it, but it doesn't come from him originally. At the very beginning of Proverbs 31, it is an oracle that King Lemuel's mother shared with her son. And a part of that oracle, because it starts at the beginning of chapter 31, is about that excellent wife, that virtuous woman, and how special that person is. And for us, the Holy Spirit has chosen to reserve that, save it for us, pass it down so that we can go back and we can look at that on a regular occasion to see what is it that God says makes you so special. And so that's why I've asked the question, who are you? Who do you see yourself as being? And I hope that what you will see is what God sees in you and why God considers you the person that He says that you are through this inspiration by the Holy Spirit. You see, what we find King Lemuel's mother telling him is that, first of all, you ladies, each of you is a woman who is precious beyond compare. Her price is far above rubies. Her price is beyond anything we can imagine. As a matter of fact, it starts out with the words, and the New American Standard says an excellent wife, but we've heard other words in translations, virtuous woman, noble woman. And what we're being told is that you are a person who is beyond compare. We cannot begin to place a value upon you. Your husband trusts you. He has complete confidence in you because of who you are, because of the person that you are, and because you seek his good. You bless his life. And men, we do well to praise our wives and to thank them because they do bless our lives, and our lives are better for their having been in them. But he also says, not only are you someone who is precious beyond compare, he says you're somebody that's not afraid of work. And many of us have seen that in our moms, haven't we? They're constantly devoted to the needs of their families. There are two statements that are made. One's in verse 15, the other's down in verse 18. I want to share with you verse 18 first, as he describes this excellent wife. And the thing that he says about her is her lamp does not go out at night. And then, back up in verse 15, he says she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. Now think about that for just a moment. How many of us had a mother that even after we went to bed, she was still up, either cleaning the kitchen, getting something ready for us for the next day, taking care of things, maybe sewing a button back on a shirt or darning a sock. For those of you that still know what that means, that's probably the older mothers in this group. Doing something to get ready for the next day. And then the next morning, you men who were working, now I know some of you work earlier shifts, but there were a lot of you men that she was up doing what? Getting breakfast ready for you to go. Or maybe preparing a lunch because you took that sack lunch with you in some kind of toolbox, lunchbox. And she was getting things for the kids. She was up before you were up. And she sometimes didn't go to bed till after you went to bed. And so the question that I ask is, when you look at what we're told here, is when do you rest? When do you find time to rest? Because you're always working, doing, providing. And men, to be honest with you, and we'll get into that just a little bit later, if she's working outside the home, she's doing double duty. She's helping you provide for your family, all of you, as well as taking care of the kids at home. She's carrying really a double load in so many ways. Something else he says is that you are generous. Notice verse 20. The way he puts it is that she extends her hand to the poor, she stretches out her hands to the needy. Not only does this woman see to the needs of her own family and take care of the needs of her husband and all of those within her house, but she's also looking around. Is there someone else that I can help? Is there someone else that needs something? Maybe it's a neighbor across the road. Maybe it's somebody like so many of you ladies have done for us these last few months. You've been preparing meals for my wife and I. So you're not only taking care of your own family at home, but you're taking care of somebody else. And Solomon himself had a couple of things to say about that. Back in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, he says, "Happy is he who is gracious to the poor." And then in Proverbs 19, verse 17, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord." And what does Solomon say about that? He says, "And he will repay him for his good deed." She's looking out not only for the needs of her household, but for the needs of others. And you ladies do that so much. I get to be on the listening end sometimes because I know the phone calls that come into my wife over the last however many years we've been here. And your ladies are, "Well, can we fix meals for this person? Can we take care of this family for a funeral? Can we..." Whatever it is, you're trying to take care of someone else. You're constantly looking out for what else can we do. You are so generous. And you are people who, as King Lemuel's mother said, you face the future with confidence. The way he puts it in verse 25 is this. He says, strength and dignity are her clothing. And he adds to that, and she smiles at the future. Strength and dignity are her clothing. I don't think it's physical strength. I think that's strength of character. Strength of purpose. Dignity. How many women have we known, mothers, who have kept pressing on, kept doing what needed to be done, even though maybe others around them were saying it's futile, but they keep doing what they know to do. There's a strength within them that just keeps going forward. And there's a dignity that, how many of you men here today are better men because of the woman you married? Not because financially maybe she was better off than you when you married, but because of her dignity of character. Her life and her example and her influence in your life caused you to be a better person. Lifted you up. Encouraged you. Challenged you to do the right thing at times when maybe you were tempted to do a different thing, take a different road, make a different choice. You see, that strength and dignity reveals who she truly is in her life. And it challenges us to be better in our own lives. Ladies, your true beauty comes from those spiritual strengths. They allow you to be able to smile at the future. Because you know what really matters in life. You're a woman who teaches wisdom. Verse 26, he said, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Let me ask you another question. When you were small, the rest of us, who typically read to you Bible stories? Was it your mom? Would she gather you around? Would she open a little Bible story book and share with you a Bible story? We dads, we're busy working, aren't we? We're away from the house. We come in, we're tired, we want supper, we want to get a shower, we've got to get ready for the next day of work. So mom is doing that. You generally are the ones who taught us the wisdom of God when we were in the car, when we were helping you in the kitchen or maybe helping with some other chore around the house. You were imparting that wisdom to us. You're the one who taught us how to be kind to others when they were not always kind to us. Because that's just what you did. You used those teachable moments to reach out to us and to teach us how to interact with those around us who were not always good to us, and those who maybe needed something that we could provide in the way of just a friend, an encouraging word. You see, that's you. That's what you did. You taught us those things. I love what he says in verse 27, because one of the things he says is that you faithfully watch out for the needs of your household. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Boy, is the list long there. Who is it that makes sure the house is clean? Mom. Who is it that makes sure the meals are cooked? Mom. Who generally washes the clothes? Mom. Who makes sure that the beds are made? Mom. Who made sure that we did our homework and took our baths? Who made sure that our shoes were tied back in the days when people still tied shoes? Mom. Who made sure that our hair was combed before we went out the door? Mom. Who kept up with the doctor's appointments and the practice schedules and events at church and other things on the calendar with school and everything else you can imagine? Mom. And who drove us to all of them and didn't charge us a dime? Mom. You were there for the broken arm and the runny nose. You listened when we poured out to you our anger and our disappointments, our heartaches, our fears. It's what you do. And any of us men who think that you have it easy, I challenge you, step in her shoes for a week or two. And I believe it won't take you long to realize, would you take this back? I'm not qualified. It's been many years ago now. It was one night, my wife was at an event with some of you ladies. I believe it was my daughter and her husband that were both having to work or whatever, and I was taking care of a grandson, still about this big. And that's all it took for me. I've changed diapers, folks. I've done my share of changing diapers as a grandparent, and even before that. But what was so interesting that night is I had a grandson that would not stop crying. And I did all, does your diaper need to be changed? No. Are you hungry? No, I just fed you. You know, you go through everything, don't you, ladies? And I didn't know what else to do. I was walking around the house doing all the things you think you're supposed to do. And finally I called my wife and I said, what do I do? She said, get one of my shirts and just put it over your shoulder and lay him against that. That's all it took. She knew. She knew. I'm glad when she got home that night. Because you see, we depend on them for so much, and they do so much. And they faithfully watch over all of those things and just do it because that's who they are. And if you have a woman like that in your life, you need to stop and take time to appreciate her, which brings me to where I want us to go. What are we to do? What is our responsibility? First of all, for those of you who are husbands of such a woman, if you go down toward the end of what was read for us just a moment ago, you find that he tells us there in verses 28 and 29, he says that her children rise up and bless her husband also and praises her, saying, many women have, as he says, or many daughters have done nobly, but he says, you excel them all. Too often we think, men, that we're doing everything we're supposed to do when we make sure that the bills are paid and that we keep a roof over the over the heads of our family and we keep food on the table. But our wives have emotional needs. They have spiritual needs that need to be met. And we sin against them when we fail to see that those needs are met. You see, not only do we sin against them, we also sin against our children, because what our children begin to see in us are attitudes and actions that are not good that we demonstrate toward their mother. And instead, what they need to see in us men are the attitudes and actions that encourage and uplift their mothers and praise their mothers and let them know, this woman is someone you need to love and respect and show appreciation for. In Ephesians 5, there in verse 25, Paul is comparing Christ and his church to a husband-wife relationship. And in verse 25, what he says there is this. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then just three verses later in verse 28, he says something else. He adds to it. He says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. And he goes on to talk about how no man ever mistreats his body, but that he nourishes and cherishes that body. And he says, that's the way you're to treat your wife. And that's what we're to do. Many of you ever encouraged your wife to take a day for herself? Go do something for yourself. Go pamper yourself. You deserve it. You're worth it. And you know, it's good to tell others just how special your wife is. And that's something that maybe we men do out when we're around others and other men. But have you gone to your wife and told her specifically how much you appreciate her? Have you told her, I value you, I treasure you? This past Monday evening, as many of you know, we have a men's night out, and there's a ladies' night out, and I want to encourage you, if you're not going, men, if you're not going to that, you ought to go. Ladies, if you're not going to ladies' night out, you ought to go. But on this past Monday evening at our devotional part of it. Tommy Harden did our devotional, and he pulled a passage from Proverbs 25, there in verse 11, where Solomon said, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. And he shared with us a list of things, you know, statements that we can make, but specifically, especially to our wives, words that encourage them. I'm not going to go through his list. I got that list, Tommy, just want you to know that. And there are three things that I want to share with you that I thought were very special. Words that we can speak to our wives. Men, it'd be good for us once in a while to say to our wives, I'm so proud of who you are. Or to ask her, how can I make you feel more loved? What do I need to do? Or even, how can I try to understand you better? I think all of us men find ourselves at times not feeling like we do very well at understanding our wives. I don't understand. How can I understand you better? But doing what you can to be for her that individual that God has called you to be in your relationship with your wife, the mother of your children, in encouraging and praising and lifting her up. But what about us as children? What do we do? How are we to respond to our mothers? And back in verse 28, there again, her children rise up and bless her. You praise your mom. You speak words of encouragement. Too often, if the truth be known, we take our mothers for granted. We fail to tell them how much we appreciate them. And one of the things that we do, and I was guilty as I was growing up, is that our mothers, we use our mothers as the recipients of our disrespect, our rebellion, sometimes even cutting remarks made in anger. We lash out at them. We shouldn't do that. No, we should do something else. Because you see, in those times of our lives, our mothers fail to hear words that they really should hear. Words like, thanks, Mom. I really appreciate that. Or, Mom, you're the greatest. I appreciate you. It'd be good if you haven't said that to your mother in a while. Go ahead and do it now. Not here in our worship, but today at some point. Give your mother her flowers while she's living, while you have the opportunity. And one of the best ways that you can show appreciation for your mother is that you do what she taught you to do. How many times have we heard our mother, I didn't teach you that. You didn't learn that from me. So what does Solomon say? Don't forsake your mother's teaching. Remember what she taught you. Live it out in your life. But moms, if I could, there is one final word of caution I want to give to you. There's a danger that you face in your life as a mother. And to best explain it, it's possible that there are times when you become so consumed in caring for your own family and the details of life that you fail to spend time at the feet of the Savior. And the best way I know to illustrate that is to take you back to a passage that Luke records for us in Luke chapter 10. Jesus and his disciples have gone to Bethany, and they're there with some close friends of Jesus, Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And they're sitting around and they're enjoying time together, and Jesus is teaching, and Lazarus is in there with them, and Mary's in there sitting at the feet of Jesus. Where's Martha? Martha is doing what most of you women are doing. Martha's in the kitchen. Martha's setting the table. Martha's fixing the meal. Martha is doing everything to get everything ready for everyone that's there. And Martha's frustrated, because she's the only one that's doing it. Nobody else has decided to jump in. Oh, Martha, let me give you a hand. No, everybody else is over where Jesus is at. And so what happens? Luke records it for us in verse 40. He says that Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to the Lord and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." I can just hear that. Tell her to help me. You sense the frustration. To be distracted, what that word means is that she's pulled away. She's drug away. She's overburdened with something. Ladies, have you ever found yourself like that? So much going on. You're frustrated. You feel like you're the only one that's carrying the load. Nobody else has said, "Here, let me give you a hand. Let me jump in. Let me do part of this." And so what do? You lash out. You get angry. What's the result? How does Jesus respond to it? He tells her, "You're worried about so many things." You see, Martha was anxious and upset. She was feeling sorry for herself and her situation. So how do you deal with that? What do you do? Jesus told her, he said, "Only one thing is necessary." I can almost hear him saying, "Martha, don't worry about the food. Don't worry about trying to fix for us. We all know, we've been here enough times. We know where to get, you know, the plates. We know where to get what we need. We can jump in and help you. Don't make such a big fuss over us. We're not that important. I know it seems that way to you, but one thing's necessary. Mary has chosen it, and that's to be here listening." You know, on one occasion, Mark in his gospel in chapter 6 tells us about a time when there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples, as Mark says, did not even have time to eat. He couldn't even find time just to sit down and eat a meal. And so what does Jesus say to them? Mark records it for us in verse 31 of chapter 6. He says, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest. Take some time for yourself." But something else I want to tie with that is just before the Israelites entered into the promised land while they were still in the plains of Moab, as you may remember, before his death, Moses goes through the law one final time. It's what we call the book of Deuteronomy. And there's a statement in there that he makes. He instructs them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." And then he says, "These commandments which I am teaching you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." He goes on with all of that, but I want you to think about it for just a moment. "These commandments which I am teaching you today shall be" where? "On your heart. I've hidden your words in my heart," the psalmist said, "that I might not sin against you." Ladies, you need time with God in His Word so that you can hide His words in your heart, so that you can implant that good seed into your heart, so that it can take up residence there. Drink daily from the well of God's Word, and let that Word work within your life to bring that peace in those difficult times, to encourage you when you need it, even when no one else seems to be doing that, because it will bless your life. But be careful that you don't become so overburdened with all of the tasks and all of the things that need to be done that you're not watching out for your soul, your spirit, and who you are. There's one final thing I want to share with you, and then the lesson's yours this morning. It's one of the statements which King Lemuel remembers his mother saying in this oracle that she shared with him. "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain." Think about that for just a moment. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. We've all seen ladies that have flirted and love to do that to try to draw attention to themselves. We've also seen ladies who like to show off their bodies to try to draw attention from somebody to themselves. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Those things will not work all of life. What does work? Lemuel remembered it because his mother told him. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. If there's anything to which you can give your life, ladies, it is fearing the Lord, keeping His commandments, doing what He says, and passing that on to your children, sharing those things in your life with your children. Let me ask you, do each of you ladies here today fear the Lord? Is He first and foremost in your life? I pray that He is. I hope that He is. Do you love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength? Is it evident by the way you're living your life? Because this is important. It's important in your life, but to be honest with all of us who are here today, those men among in this audience, it's important to each of us too, to fear the Lord, to keep His commandments. It's all of our duty to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe you can say, that's where I'm at in my life. I'm trying to honor God with my life. I love Him. I want to serve Him. I'm doing my best to do that. But maybe you're a person here this morning, and as you look at your own life, as you examine your life, you think, I've not been doing that. I'm searching for what will make life work for me. I'm trying to find how to make it through this confusing thing that we call life. Well, I'm going to tell you, the world's lying to you, because it tells you everything else that they say will work, and you find out it doesn't. God is telling you the truth. Come to Him. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. And He will make your path straight. If you're not serving Him today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, there is something that you are desperately needing. It is the forgiveness that God grants. It is Him working within your life to bring about the things He promises and that eternal reward that He wants you to have. He wants you to be His. And this morning, if you've not been buried with Christ in baptism, if we can meet that need, won't you come as together we stand and sing?